the Savior's blood died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, oh, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Born I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, oh, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die?
All right, good evening. Welcome to youth service. Andrew Newberry, our youth director, will be preaching tonight. He's talked about how nervous he is, and that was before he passed these out to everyone. Do you know how many church members would have loved to have one of these listen to the youth pastor preach? Wow. No pressure, Andrew. But we are all armed. All right, some real fast announcements, and then we're going to turn it over to the youth. Let's welcome Kentucky Mountain Bible College. Most of you remember Gideon. I think this is your fourth time here. Wow. How many years of college are you going to go through, buddy? I'm just kidding. He just graduated. That's great. Well, welcome, Gideon. You're home with family. And the rest of you, welcome to the family. We're glad that you are here. They're going to be doing a concert, leading us in worship in a little bit. So that will all be a treat. Looking forward to that. After service today, we will have communist banana pudding. if you don't get that, you need to ask somebody. I can't explain it, as only Jake can explain that one to you. But we'll have banana pudding regardless of where it's from or how it's cooked. We'll have it up in the cafeteria after service today. And then Friday, before the service, Charles Jones, Reverend Charles Jones, will be leading us in a concert. And so he told me 3 years ago, it was his last year. And I keep calling, and he keeps saying, okay, one more year. So that's what he told me this time. He said, Brother Wayne, this is my last year. I said, okay, we'll see. So he will be here. His wife was in the hospital a couple days ago, so pray for her. But he still feels like he can make the trip. So we'll have Reverend Jones with us on tomorrow. Let's all stand, and let's pray, and then we'll turn it over to Kentucky Mountain Bible College. Father God, thank you so much for tonight. I thank you that we get to focus on our youth and the great things that our youth are doing or have done this week. Father, I cannot even imagine what it would be like to be a teenager in today's day. With all the pressure and all the stress attacking from everywhere, the enemy is just running wild. So I thank you for those few that have chosen to stand firm. I thank you for those men who have received your call to stand beside the teenagers, to stand firm, to lead them, to teach them, to guide them. So I just pray tonight that you will be glorified through everything that they do in spreading your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing as we go to the Lord in worship. Please remain standing as we go to the Lord in worship. just so thankful tonight to serve a God who we can trust, who we can rely upon completely, and who deserves all the glory that we can give him. He is so worthy of the honor and praise that we can bring to him, and so let's just praise him for how worthy he is this evening.
We're serving this evening, he's not just worthy because of the great things that we've seen him do and the great things that we know he's going to do in the future. He's worthy because of who he is. It's because of his character. It's because he is holy. Our God is worthy.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. just worthy of all praise, but he is also worthy of our lives. Praise God that Jesus Christ has come to save us from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and one of these days he's coming back to save us from the presence of sin, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise God for his work on the cross.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Son of God gave his life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Turn your eyes to the heavens.
sweet Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who gives sight to blinded eyes that cause me to see. How I love Him, I adore Him. There's no other friend I found who gives grace where sin abounds. I'm rejoicing, He's so good to me. Loves me, yes, He is so good to me. Oh, sweet Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who gives sight to blinded eyes and calls me to see. How I love Him, I adore Him. There's no other friend I've found who gives grace where sin abounds. I'm rejoicing, He's so good to me. Savior, who gives sight to blinded eyes that cause me to see. How I love Him, I adore Him. There's no other friend I found who gives grace where sin abounds. I'm rejoicing, He's so good to me. Oh, sweet Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who gives sight to blinded eyes that cause me to see. How I love Him, I adore Him. There's no other friend I found who gives grace where sin abounds. I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm rejoicing, He's so good to me. I'm rejoicing, He's so good to me. He's so good to me.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Has God been good to you in your life? Amen. Praise God for His grace that has brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we may go forth and bear fruits that remain. It's so good to be here with you all. We are Kentucky Mountain Bible College Anthem Trio. This is my fourth time here, so it's so good to be back home with you all. My name is Gideon. I am from East Africa, and I just finally graduated after 5 years of Bible college. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, so here about July 18th, I'm going to be moving from Kentucky to Indiana, where I'm going to be serving as an assistant pastor at a church called Southport Church of the Nazarene. So I'm very excited to see what God has in that new position. And thank you all for your support.
Hey, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you all. My name is Caitlin. I am from Richmond, Kentucky, and I'm a senior at KMBC, and God has given me a love and a passion for learning and for teaching and for working with young children. So I am very excited to see where He takes me in elementary education, and I'm especially looking forward to completing my student teaching this fall in Virginia.
Good evening, y'all. My name is Caleb. I'm going into my senior year at KMBC. I'm from Jackson, Kentucky. And God has me at KMBC to draw closer to Him through the study of His Word and to learn more of what it is to minister and to love others. So long I searched for life's meaning. Enslaved by my sin. Aren't you thankful for the freedom that we have in Christ this evening? And I'm also thankful for God's faithfulness. Recently, I've been in God's Word in the historical books, started about probably a month ago in the book of Judges, and I've made my way to 2 Kings. And I've noticed a theme that in these books, in all the inconsistency that exists from leadership, you have one leader that comes along, and Israel seems to be doing great. And then another leader comes along, and Israel seems to be in a bad place. So there's no consistency that see there among leadership. It's chaos. But through all of that, God is consistent and God is faithful. And in the same way today, we live in a world that's dark. We live in a world full of hopelessness. But we serve a God who's hope in the midst of that darkness and chaos. We serve a God who's faithful, who's consistent, a God who's true. That's the God we serve this evening. My name is Caleb. As I said, I'm a senior at Kentucky Mountain Bible College, which is crazy to believe. The last 3 years have gone just like that. It is good to be with you all here at Taylor County Camp Meeting. And real quick, before I start, Gideon and Caitlin have envelopes. If you'd be interested in receiving our newsletter, the Silver Trumpet goes out twice a year. It's free of charge. It just gives you updates about what's going on at the school, the great things that God is doing. You can slip your hand up, and they'll get you one of those envelopes, and you can get that back to us after service. As I said, just gives you updates about what's going on and the great things that God is doing at our school, and it is free of charge. At Kentucky Mountain Bible College, our main passion and our main goal is to prepare young men and women to go out in a dark world that we live in and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in the business of training up young men and women to be Christian leaders. At KMBC, we emphasize community. It's not uncommon to see our faculty and staff on campus praying with our students, asking, hey, how are you doing in your walk with the Lord? How can I be praying for you? How can I help you in your classes? What has God been showing you recently in his word? These are things that the past 3 years I've been greatly encouraged by and things that have helped me to draw closer in my relationship with the Lord. At KMBC, we emphasize discipleship. We have a discipleship and mentoring program, which right now at our campus has 100% participation, and every student that participates gets a 17% off scholarship tuition scholarship. And this is something that's incredibly impacted me as well. I meet every morning, every Wednesday morning, not every morning, at 9:30. And we just have accountability, Bible study, digging into God's word, seeing what it means more to be a man or woman of God in the world we live in today. What God's word about what it says to live in the world. KMBC, we emphasize practical ministry. We believe if you're going to be successful in ministry later, you need to be preparing to be in ministry now. Our students are doing pulpit supply at local churches that are currently in pastoral searches. We have students teaching Sunday school. Local students are leading some disciple nights at a local Christian high school. We're making sure that our students are plugged in and getting active experience in ministry now where they're at in college, so that go out and work in churches and schools, they're already prepared and already know what to expect when they get out into full-time ministry. So how can you connect with KBC? First of all, you can pray for us. We'd really appreciate your prayers. We believe in prayer, and we believe that God is doing great things at KBC. The second way you connect with us is those envelopes you filled out. As we said, if you'd love to receive our newsletter, you can get that back to us afterwards. It goes out twice a year. And the third way is you can give. If you feel inclined to give to the ministry of Kentucky Mountain Bible College, we would greatly appreciate that as well. We're excited for the future of what God has for Taylor County Camp Meeting and what God has for the future of Kentucky Mountain Bible College. And at this time, I'm going to have the trio come back up. We're going to continue in worship.
Never traveled far around the world. I've never seen the many thrills and sights unfurled. But I have taken the journey of journeys for me up Calvary's mountain. There my Savior to see. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of His Word. Each day thank you.
All right, let's hear it one more time for Anthem. You'll be hearing from them again towards the end of service. Let's have the ushers to come forward for this evening's offerings. For an update, we are just over around 55,000 for the year in giving. And so we have a couple more times to give. So those of you that are waiting for the very last second, now is the time. And if you don't know how much to give, ask Dr. Carter. He'll tell you. He'll tell you just how much you need to give to finish this out. But our missions offering this year was just around $35,000 for our missionaries. Another great job raising funds for our missionaries and supporting our missionaries. I asked Jesse Sanders if he would pray for the offering today. If you look in front of you, you'll see the envelopes that you can use for donating. If you look at the TCC envelope, there's a box you can check to give monthly. If you want to make a monthly pledge, that would help the camp throughout the year with year-round needs and year-round budget. So that would be very helpful. So, Jesse, will you come up and lead us in prayer for the offering? Thank you.
I just got one question. Does everybody get a rock when they come in today? As the Brother Wayne spoke earlier, we went around and gave all the youth an extra rock. And we got about 35 of them, youth. So that's 70 rocks that they can throw. And they're pretty good at rapid fire and good aim. So might want to think before we start throwing rocks tonight. Lord, I ask that you would be with us tonight. Just thank you for all the blessings that we get from camp this week, Lord. I pray that you'll be with this offering as we take it up, Lord, and do what it needs to be done with, Lord. Just use it to further your kingdom. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joe Barbie. I am the youth and student pastor at Church in the Orchard in Fort Valley, Georgia. My family has been part of Taylor County camp meeting for quite some time. I never get the years right, so I'm not even going to try. Mainly my wife, Jenny. She works with Kylie down with the kids. But tonight, I have the honor and the privilege to lead the celebration of the class of 2025 as we celebrate our seniors here at Taylor County Camp. We have four people we're celebrating tonight. Don't rush the stage. You come up here when I tell y'all to come up here. We have Christy Khalil, Elijah Barbie. I didn't say, see, y'all don't listen. Y'all come on. Y'all come on up. Alex Turk. Are they coming up here with me? Come on. That's good. And Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do to this name. But Gideon Mugisha Muginga. And that, my friends, is evidence of the Holy Spirit. All right, we're going to talk one-on-one. Christy here, she is pre-med biochemistry. She is going to Berry College up in Rome, Georgia. This is Elijah Barbie, a little partial. This is my son, Elijah, if you couldn't tell. He's going also to Berry College, and he is going to be in music education. He's going to be a music teacher. And then Alex down here is going into the workforce. Let me go back, though, because Christy, you graduated from McClure Health Science High School.
Yes.
Elijah, you graduated from Veterans High School in Taylor County and Kentucky Mountain Bible College. Yes, sir. All right. And we've just found out that you are going into ministry as a
co-pastor,
assistant pastor,
associate pastor, executive pastor, whatever they call them these days. But you're going to be with the Nazarene Church, which that makes some people here happy. That's right. So this is what we're going to do, because as they go into this season of their life, some of them are leaving home. Some of them are going to different states, but they're all starting a new season in their life. And this is a time when they leave the covering of their home churches, of their home, and they go out. It's a scary world. So what we do here as the body of Christ is we're going to pray over them, and we're going to pray protection over them. And then we're going to make a commitment tonight that over the next 4 years, we're going to continue to pray for them, because they don't need your prayer just tonight. They need your prayer from now on. All right, so let's go ahead and bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you with these four people, these four students, graduated, going on to the next season of their life, Lord. And I know you have them in your hand. Lord, they're going out into a scary world, and just bring into remembrance who they belong to and, Lord, what's in their heart. So when the enemy starts to attack, you bring into remembrance scripture and says how to fight the enemy, Lord. We as a body of Christ at Taylor County and all their home churches and their family, we're going to put a hedge of protection around them through you, Lord. And we just ask that you keep them safe, you keep them focused, and you keep them in your word. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give it up for our seniors.
All right, for those of you that know, it is Youth Night. I've had several of these kids working on a skit that I think is going to be really, really good. So if you would, let's turn it over to our kids and let's watch them perform this skit.
I'm not exactly sure where it came from, this box of stones. It seems like I've been carrying it around my entire life. It didn't used to be this heavy. It's sort of strange, but the older I get, the heavier it becomes. As each day goes by, more stones get in my box. I can barely remember finding the first stone. I think I was around 4 years old. I lied to my mom about getting into her chapstick, but it was all over my face. It was not a big deal, but after I lied, that's when I noticed this box with a single stone inside. I pulled out the stone. Here it is, the first stone. I pulled it out of the box and it was filthy. It had the word lying on it. I just tossed it back in the box. It's no big deal. After all, it's just a little lie. Yeah, right. It was a big deal. So why did I feel so bad? Why did it feel like no one could ever love me? But now I have so many of these stones. This one says disobedient to parents. So what? All they ever do is gripe at me anyways. Cussing. It's really tough to keep from letting a bad word slip out every now and again. Cheating on a test, making fun of people, telling a big lie. Hatred, complaining, lying again, cheating. Before I knew it, I was carrying on this heavy box of stones. Each stone is a reminder of the filth in my life. Each pound, the heaviness of my sin in my life. Why did it feel so bad? Why have I done all these things? Would anyone ever love me enough to forgive me? I'm afraid to talk to my parents about these stones. I know they'd be really disappointed in me. I tried talking to a friend, and she took a stone out of my box.
What are you so worried about?
Another friend was so shocked by what she read on the box that she took a stone, put it back in the box, and looked at me with disgust. A close friend even tried to help me carry the box of stones, but eventually it got too heavy and it wore her down also. It's okay. She had her own box to carry. It was nice of her, but it was just too much weight. Someone told me I should see a counselor. That was okay, for a while. I would go into her office and empty the box of stones and we talked about them. Believe me, that was not easy. After analyzing my stones, she told me it wasn't my fault. I was the victim, and it was everyone else's fault. It felt really good to talk about it, but after every session, I just packed back up the stones into my box and dragged them home. I wish someone could help me. I'm so tired of stumbling around under all of this load. I want some help. I want some relief. I want someone to love and forgive me.
Upon the cross, who takes away the sins of all, forgiveness flows from hands and feet as violence meets the Prince of Peace. Behold the fullness of God won't be kept in a grave. Darkness, your hour is over. Behold the love, his dying plea. Behold the grace of Calvary, that rugged
Great job, teens. Great job. Can't imagine how nervous they are, but I can tell you I'm just as nervous as they are. because y'all really know how to throw in a first-year youth pastor or first-year guy to Taylor County Camp. You put them behind Brother Doug and Brother Jay as his first year. Y'all really know how to do it real good. But I can tell you, I'm honored to stand in this pulpit behind the ministry greats that have been here at Taylor County Camp. It's really been great. The kids have been phenomenal. The parents have been great with communicating and helping and understanding that this is my first year. So it's been a really good thing, and I've really been blessed to be able to be a part of what God is doing here at Taylor County Camp. So before we get started, does everybody have a rock? Is there anybody that doesn't have one? Whatever you do, don't throw it at me, because the Bible says that he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So just remember that. Just remember that. But no, what we want to talk about tonight is the choice. It's the title of this message. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. Luke 9, 23. You see, life is all about choices. The average adult human makes between 33 and 35,000 choices a day, according to a study done by Cornell University. 33 to 35,000 choices in one day. They range from what time you wake up, or for some of you ladies, how many times you hit the snooze button before you actually get up. My wife, I can attest to that for her. What you may have for breakfast, for lunch, dinner plans, whether to get gas now or later. There's so many different things that go into our daily routine that we make choices about. There's good choices, there's bad choices, there's smart choices, there's not so smart choices. There's risky choices, hard choices, and even easy choices. And there's so many different choices we make on a daily basis. But this evening, I want to focus on the only choice in our life that poses the most risk. And that choice is to surrender your life to Christ. That is the one choice that has the most risk attached to it. If we would, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Luke 9 and 23 and 24. Jesus says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." You may be seated. This is the choice. The choice is whether or not to follow Jesus. It's the choice that has the most risk behind it. Oftentimes, we let our sin define us rather than allowing God to define us. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." So what that tells me is I'm not real smart. Because there's a way that might seem right to me, but in the end, it leads to death. So I hear that loud and clear. But what is sin? Sin is anything that separates us from God. That's the separation from us. In today's world, our culture is teaching, well, let's make it a law and then it's okay. It's okay to be this way because we've made a law that says it's okay. Well, see, the Bible goes directly against what the world has to say. But that's a choice that we have to make. The world also tells us that if it makes you happy and it doesn't harm anybody, you're okay. I know in my life I've walked through that. Oh, it ain't that bad. It's okay. I'm not hurting anybody. Till you begin to grow your relationship with Christ and you realize that that statement is as far from the truth as you could ever get. I come up with a cool analogy for sin. It's called self-inflicted nonsense. Self-inflicted nonsense. You see, we sin by choice. Because our temptations are not sin. Because if that were the case, then the Bible's a lie. Because the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way known to man, yet without sin. So if our temptations are not sin, but our temptation leads us to a choice, and that choice is to sin, or to not sin. You see, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape for you to bear it. So there's no temptation that can overtake you that God doesn't offer you a way of escape for you to get out of your sin. But it's by choice to whether you conceive that sin or you turn away from it. See, sin causes our relationship with God to be broken and in need of a fresh start. I think Brother Jay and Brother Doug has touched on that all week long, as we have in the youth group. There's been a lot of times, both of them and Harley on Sunday, that we've used the same scripture in different aspects of what we've been talking about. So God has orchestrated all of this to happen because obviously he sees the need here. I'm not smart enough to see the need, but God is, and God knows what we need. But sin, it's always an interesting topic, and it's one that we all know a lot about from personal experience. When we talk about sin, there's two things that we find. Man thinks so little of it, but God makes much of it. We make so little of sin, but God makes much of it. See, man jokes about it. A lot of times we even brag about it. Guys I went to high school with, man, I got hammered last night. Man, I went and slept with this girl and that girl and this girl. Man, I got so high last night. We talk about all the things that the world has to offer, and we brag about it and think that, man, this is the best thing ever. See, man thinks that sin is a hang-up that Christians have. Man also thinks that sin is entertaining. But you take a look at most of the TV shows and movies that we see, they're centered around sin. God says that sin is a very serious matter. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but we think that, oh, it's not that bad. We think so little about sin, but God thinks so much of it. See, sin is universal. You can't escape it. You were born into it. Since Adam and Eve, we have been in a fallen creation. So nobody in this room, nobody in this world can escape sin. No matter where you go in the world, you're going to find it. Sin can't be escaped, but it can be overcome. Your sin can be overcome by the power of God. We know that sin exists, otherwise there wouldn't be any need for jails, for locks on your cars or your houses, because everybody would all be the same. There would be no sin, there would be no bad, everybody would be perfectly fine. Some say that sin is just a weakness of the flesh, the absence of society's morals. Some say that sin is the nature of the beast, revealing the evolution of man, that it shows man hasn't completely evolved yet. Some say that sin is a disease, a sickness of the mind, not spiritual. So when did sin begin? We like to think that it originated with Adam and Eve. But can I tell you it began in heaven? As Lucifer's in heaven and he began to gather the angels and say, hey, I'm going to be better than him. I can do it better than him. So not only did Satan himself get kicked out of heaven, a third of the angels with him. A third of the angels that was in heaven got kicked out because Satan said, I'm bigger than him. I'm better than him. I can be bigger than him. Watch and see. That's where sin originated. It originated in heaven. But sin entered the world of mankind through Adam and Eve. We are sinners by nature. How many of you have young children? I have a 4-year-old. So if my 4-year-old gets in trouble, I don't have to teach him to lie to me. He does it on his own. There's been times I've asked him, did you do this? No, sir. Bryson, did you do this? No, sir. Are you sure? And then he'll say, yes, sir. So I don't have to teach a 4-year-old to lie. So I don't have to teach a 4-year-old how to sin because it's in him. and it's not taught to him. It's by our nature that we sin. We're also sinners by choice. Much like what you've seen portrayed in this skit, we are responsible to God for the sins that we commit. You are not responsible for my sins. I'm responsible for me. Much like you are responsible for you. So what do we do? Or so how do we sin? And this form of sin is not, or and what type of sins do we commit? The first one is the sin of commission. This form of sin is direct disobedience to God. Sin in Greek means hamartia, or missing the mark. The target being God's perfect will for our life. When we sin, we definitely miss the mark. How many times in a day or an hour do we miss the mark? How often do we allow people in our life to cause us to miss the mark? See, we miss God's standard for perfection. So I want you to think about your box. Your box of stones. Can you remember when the first one entered into your box? Can you see how over time your box becomes extremely heavy? But see, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's every pastor, every preacher, every evangelist. All of us fall short. None of us are worthy of God's glory. But because of his son, Jesus Christ, we have acceptance. Like Brother Jay taught about, it's about the blood. Jesus comes in and he's looking for the blood. Does Jesus or does God see the blood on your life? Next we have disobedience, or perico in the Greek. It means fail to hear. A lot of these ladies are going to really like this one. How many times have you been talking to your husband and he turns around and looks at you like, what? What'd you say? And then y'all call it, or we call it, selective hearing, is what the men like to call it. See, sometimes we get busy reading, watching TV, so on, and we're only half listening to what someone is saying. We get so involved in what we want to do, what we like to do, that we don't pay attention to when God is speaking to us. See, God is always speaking, but are we always listening? Then we're quick to throw shade at God like it's his fault that we are where we are, when in reality, we've put ourselves here. We're quick to say it's God's fault for this, it's God's fault for that, but we don't want to take a step back and examine us, examine ourselves to see how we got here. See, God is constant. He remains the same. We don't. We are our own worst enemy. We get in our own way. See, for me, Satan really don't have to do anything but leave me alone, and I'll do it myself. I don't need his help to make me fall short. And then Romans 5:19, it says, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, we, or many, will be made righteous." Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus that gives you the opportunity to be righteous and to be accepted into the family of God? Next, you have the sin of omission. See, we can sin without ever doing anything wrong, or we can sin without ever doing the wrong thing because simply we don't do the right thing. The closer we live in obedience to the Lord, the less we commit the sins of omission. James 4:17, it says, "If anyone then knows they ought to do good and doesn't do it, to them it is sin." So if you know you need to do something and you don't do it, to you it is sin. That's a hard one for us to follow. I think about things in my own life that I've screwed up. Yeah, I should have done that, and I should have done this, but I didn't. But does it ever run through my mind that it's sin because I know I should have done something and didn't do it? I don't think that registers with a lot of people, myself included, because sometimes I don't think like that. Then you go on to the third, and that's the sin of disposition. These sins are our attitudes. Our attitudes. We can sin in our heart and our mind and never commit an overt act of sin. Matthew 5, 21 and 22 says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. So even if you think thoughts towards somebody else, if you think hatred in your heart to somebody else, you've committed murder in your heart. And you've never committed an overt act towards anybody. It's the same thing for lusting after a woman. The Bible says if you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And you've not done anything but just think. You go on down in that same chapter in 27 and 28. It says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Not done anything, just thought about it. So hatred is a sin, even if it don't bring forth the act of revenge or hatred. Lust is also a sin, even if it doesn't bring forth the act of adultery. The sin of the imagination, just as much sin in the eyes of God as the act of sin. Even in your thoughts and in your mind, it is still sin in God's eyes. I think we downplay sin a lot of times. I think we like to think, like Brother Jay said the other day, we like to see just how much we can get by with and still be okay. I think grace is very big, but I also think we cheapen what grace is. Because I can't get up every day and say, "Oh, well, God's going to sprinkle me some grace today so I can go do this and it's going to be okay." See, I don't think God works that way. And I could be completely off base, but I think God is a little better on his grace than that. And I don't think, since you're thinking, a lot of people do this, "Well, I've already thought about it, so I may as well do it." That's a lie from Satan. Don't do that. I told the kids the other night, if you do the wrong thing, you can always do the next right thing. It's all about the choice. If you make a mistake, then on the next one, you get it right. So don't think, "Oh, well, I already thought about it, so I may as well do it." That ain't how that works. While both are sins, there are greater consequences when the act is committed. Just ask your wife, your husband, or the cop. If I thought about dealing drugs, but I never did it, the cop's going to think a whole lot more of it if I actually did it than just thinking about it. I know I don't really go real long if KNBC wants to come and get ready to get us a song. I want you to get real with yourself. You see, you can lie to me. You can lie to Brother Doug, Brother Jay, Brother Wayne. There's two people in this world you can't lie to, and that's yourself and God. The Bible says, examine yourself. Take a look in your box. See what stones that you have left unturned. Those ones you take and put in your heart and you push it deep, deep down and you say, "No, God, I'm locking it away and throwing away the key. I don't want you in that area of my life. I don't want you to see that part of me." Can I go ahead and tell you that God already sees that? You're not hiding anything from him. We like to hide it from ourselves. But as you look at your stones that are in your body, or the stones that's in your hand, has the weight of that stone, the weight of the sin that you have been carrying around your entire life, has it become too heavy for you? You've tried everything, just like with the woman with the issue of blood. She did everything she knew to do, gave away all kinds of money trying to fix her issue, and she never could get it until she touched the hem of his garment. So you've tried everything you know to do. You've tried to go to counseling. You tried to do it all on your own. And you constantly keep failing and running back to the one thing you can't let go of. And that's that stone that you hold tonight. I don't know what it looks like for each individual, but today you have a choice to make. That stone in your hand represents the sin that so easily entangles you. Hebrews 12:1 says, throw off every weight so you can run your race. Why would we hold on to something that's hindering us from getting closer to God? Because sin is that separation between Him and us. You have a choice today to come and lay that stone at the foot of Jesus. Just like in our skit, she had been exhausted from all options and found no joy until God showed up in her life. Imagine what God would do for you if you could surrender yourself and say, God, I'm yours. God, I'm going to take this thing in my life that I can't seem to get rid of, and I'm going to lay it at your feet and let you have it. And when I leave, I'm not going to come pick it back up and walk back out the door with it. I'm going to leave it there. See, a lot of times we like to unplug, but then we go to leave. Oh, I need to plug this back in before I leave. Don't do that. Don't let Satan say, hey, you got to have this when you go. Because I promise you, God don't want you to have it. God wants you to leave it at the foot of Him and say, hey, God, this is yours. You have it. And when you do that, I promise you, He'll transform your life. Are you ready to have that joy, that freedom? As they begin to sing, these altars are going to open. I encourage you to examine yourself. Think about your stone, what it represents in your life, and see what God wants you to do with that stone as they sing.
Joy in His presence, felt the love of His faithfulness.
As these continue to pray, we'll pray and then I'll turn it over to Brother Wayne. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much, God, for another beautiful night that you've given us, Father. Lord, I thank you so much, God, for the opportunity, God, to stand behind this pulpit, God, by some of the ministry greats, God, as Brother Doug and Brother Jay's been here this week, Father. Lord, I thank you so much, God, for everybody that is in attendance tonight, Father. I pray, God, that you continue to lead, God, and direct, Father, their every step. Lord, I pray, God, that you continue to have your way in their life, God. And I pray, God, if there's anybody here, God, under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, Father, I pray, God, that they come to know you before it's too late. Lord, I pray, God, as we finish up camp tomorrow, God, I pray that you just continue to have your hand upon us, God. You continue to lead, God, and direct and allow your spirit, God, to overtake this place. Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, youth. What a great service. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, maybe there's hope for this generation after all. After all, your generation made it, right? We've heard from colleges, we've heard from our youth, and we heard from Asbury, still living in the outpouring that happened there. God's on the move in this generation. Don't give up on them. Don't sell them out. They're going to be the ones that stand firm in this wild turmoil of a world that seems to be getting worse in the news every single day. These are the ones that are going to stand on true conviction and true right and wrong. And I truly believe that it's going to be this generation that redefines what truth is. Because we've lost the idea of truth. So how many of us can agree that we're going to pray for them, our youth of Taylor County, and this generation that is being raised right now? Anybody? Yes, let's continue to pray for them. All right. Brother Jay, it's time for some communist banana pudding. Maybe someone will bring you a real banana pudding that's baked and all that stuff. Maybe someone will bring you one. We'll see. All right. Thank you all for being here. Andrew, great job bringing his word. I can only imagine, based on what you were talking about today, how it's been going over there during your lessons and things like that. And it's exciting. Thank you very much for your leadership this year. All right. You're dismissed.